This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, September 29th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. In the immediate aftermath of this summer's crypto collapse, Ethereum did better than most. Between June and September, the price of Ether climbed from just under $1,000 to almost $2,000. But now, the tides have turned again for the world's second biggest crypto. Ether has fallen by 19% over the past 2 weeks. So what's behind the latest reversal of fortunes? On today's show, our crypto reporter Paul Vigna joins us to explain the dip and why the closely watched Ethereum merge may be playing a role. That's after these headlines. Starting off with crypto news, Terraforma Labs, the platform behind the failed cryptocurrencies Terra USD and Luna, is accusing South Korean prosecutors of overreach, 2 weeks after authorities there issued an arrest warrant for the company's founder, Do Kwon. In a statement sent to the Wall Street Journal on Wednesday, a spokesman said the company's stablecoin Luna was not a security and therefore isn't covered by South Korea's capital markets law. In May, Luna fell over 99% in just a few days, wiping out about $40 billion in value from the crypto market. Since then, the whereabouts of Kwon have been unclear. We report exclusively that executives at Facebook parent Meta privately told rights groups in India that concerns about security prevented them from releasing details of an investigation into hate speech on the platform. That information comes from audio recordings of a meeting heard by the Wall Street Journal. Meta has faced accusations of failing to adequately police hate speech against India's religious minorities on its platforms, and in July it released a 4-page summary of an assessment of its human rights impact in India, its biggest global market by users. But the summary included little detail, angering rights groups. Representatives from some said Meta wasn't being transparent, and they accused the company of burying the findings, according to the audio. A Meta spokesman declined to comment. As if getting hacked wouldn't make your week bad enough, what about being hit twice? The business news group Fast Company says it experienced two apparently related hacks this week, and that it shut down its website after one of them led to obscene and racist push notifications being sent to its Apple News users. The company says it's investigating what happened and that its website will be shut down until it resolves the situation. And more companies are taking note of California's data privacy laws, following a $1.2 million settlement that cosmetic retailer Sephora agreed to pay for violating them. The California Consumer Privacy Act came into effect in 2020. It requires companies to offer customers multiple ways to opt out of having their data shared. But according to advertising executives and advisors, many companies didn't act because they didn't think the regulations applied to them or that the risks were minimal. WSJ CMO Today reporter Patrick Coffey says the Sephora deal was a shot across the bow for the California Attorney General looking to enforce the law.
I think that it's clear we are going to see more actions against companies. The Attorney General's office told me that at around the same time they announced the Sephora settlement, they sent out letters to dozens of comparable businesses, essentially accusing them of violating the same statutes of the law. And the lawyers and advisors that I spoke to said there's no question that there will be more settlements and that for many companies, it's just going to take more publicity for them to realize that they need to act on this like yesterday.
All right, coming up, ahead of the Ethereum merge, investors were all in on the crypto. Now that it's done, they're pulling out. So what happened? We'll discuss after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
Earlier this month, the crypto platform Ethereum underwent a major change. The long-awaited Ethereum merge changed how transactions on the network are processed, with the goal of reducing the platform's environmental impact. In the lead-up to the shift, the price of Ether, the cryptocurrency tied to the Ethereum network, nearly doubled. But since then, the value of Ether has fallen drastically. So, what's behind the reversal, and how long can it last? Joining us to discuss that is our crypto reporter, Paul Vigna. Hi, Paul. Thanks for joining me.
Hi.
Paul, one of the big things that happened with the Ethereum merge is that it switched from a verification system called a proof-of-work model to a proof-of-stake model. Can you start by reminding us what the difference is between those two systems?
So, I mean, in a very brief nutshell, the proof-of-work system required Ethereum's miners, the people that actually do the validating of transactions, to expend a certain amount of computing power in order to have the privilege of being part of the network, and you can earn money on it. It's very profitable if you can do it at scale, but that's basically what you do. You have to put out computing energy as a cost of doing business. What they have switched to is a system where you're staking money as your cost of doing business, of being what they now call a validator. And you are a node on the network and you are processing transactions and you can earn a little bit of money from that. And then, of course, the big advantage of that is that it is far more environmentally friendly. Ethereum's energy usage went down by about 99% after this software upgrade. So that was the primary reason for doing it.
How did that affect the miners, those who were kind of creating the Ether cryptocurrency?
Basically, it wiped out their business model. Ethereum miners had a business where they bought hardware to process transactions, and they had built an entire business around that. And overnight, that business disappeared. So those miners could either take their machines and try to find a different proof of work cryptocurrency that would allow them to keep doing that. They could scuttle their hardware and just give up, or they could go in onto Ethereum in the new model of staking and put some money up. So their business model was eviscerated overnight.
And so what are those miners doing now with the Ethereum that they have?
Well, one of the things you saw in the lead up to this big software switch was the balance of Ethereum that these miners were holding. There was a big surge. It went up a lot because they were trying to get in their last licks. So they were mining as much as possible. They're doing a lot of work. They're holding on to it. And then right around the time of it, you could see them start selling. So the price had gone up in anticipation of this. They turned up the volume, so to speak, so that they could mine as much Ether as possible. And they sold at the top.
So you have these big miners selling off after the merge, but apart from that, have there been any hiccups since it happened?
There haven't been any major hiccups, and that's a good thing. There really could have been. The issue now becomes, and this is really with any software upgrade anywhere this happens, is, well, was there anything in the code that is a problem, a bug, that we didn't know about? And it's happened in the past on other upgrades. It's, you know, there's a history of it.
You know, something else that people seem to be looking out for are maybe some regulatory issues. You know, since the merge, we've heard the Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Gary Gensler say that now Ethereum might fall under the SEC's regulatory overview. Can you explain that and how Ethereum is reacting?
This was one of the probably more unexpected developments. So, look, this has been a big issue among government regulators. What are cryptocurrencies? How do we define them? How do we characterize them and regulate them? And there's been a big question of whether cryptocurrencies are securities. Are they commodities? You know, what are they? And there have been different answers to that. And the SEC's answer for a while, they haven't codified it, but their sort of shorthand has been, well, that Bitcoin and Ethereum
ownership is so diffuse of the network itself that they actually do operate like more like commodities than securities. They are not securities. So Gary Gensler came out and said, you know what, after this software upgrade, now that the model is you put up money and you get paid for it, that actually, to him, he said, that kind of sounds like Ethereum could now be a security. So that is going to be something that people in the Ethereum world are going to have to just pay attention to and keep an eye on.
You know, we're talking about the drop in Ether's price, but the market has been pretty volatile lately. I mean, is there anything different going on here?
Well, you know, stocks have been falling, Bitcoin's been falling, all these cryptocurrencies have been falling. And for a little while, Ethereum was in its own bubble, really, because there was a lot of drummed up excitement over this software upgrade. Now that the software upgrade has been implemented and it's over, now Ethereum is sort of starting to fall back into the general malaise of the rest of the world of risk assets.
All right, that's our reporter, Paul Vigna. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Yep, thanks for having me on.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. For more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, give it a 5-star rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.